This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Transgender Point of View is an Australian news and current affair panel talk show.
Airing weekly and hosted by Joy 94.9.
Transgender people come from every region around the world, racial and ethnic backgrounds and faith communities.
Chances are that you've met a transgender person, even if you don't know it.
But there are still many misconceptions about trans people.
And as a transgender person, there are a lot
of questions asked of us every day.
What's this about using they as a pronoun?
Isn't letting a trans person use my bathroom dangerous?
Do I refer to you as he, she, it, or they?
So what's your real name?
Are you a drag queen?
What's the difference between sex and gender, and why does it matter so much?
Did you have the operation?
What is stealth?
How does someone know they are transgender?
Really random questions.
Are you sure you're not just super gay?
You must be a transvestite.
What bathroom do you use?
Will I be able to have sex?
What does cis mean?
Good evening. You are listening to Transgender Point of View. Mama Mish here, joined by Anastasia. And yeah. So the conversations we have off air before we come on, I swear I'm going to smack you sometimes. So little mystics, those of us who know who we are and can see who we are, you can go to our Facebook page and all those things, trans POV on Joy and Instagram and everything. And so, you know, Mama Mish is not, you know, Mama Mish loves a pork chop or two. And, you know, Anastasia, you know, she little Miss Rice Queen.
No. You have the wrong terminology. You just used then. Not what? Rice Queen, honey.
No, but the thing is, you're complaining to me about oh, I've got this little pooch. And here, you know, I basically have got, you know, I've got a six pack. No, I got a six pack, but the wrong way. And,
no,
you know,
it's just like,
I got a thigh gap now. I didn't have one before I transitioned. I got this little pooch.
I'm not used to seeing my body like this.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
It's just so weird.
Oh, it's so weird. Oh.
I know. Like before, like you could see light like shining through my gap.
Yeah, well, of course.
And then now it's just like,
can someone at least message in and tell Anastasia she's you know. And then you know, looking at you now, like you know, I'm kind of looking at the rest of you here, you know, like you kind of, since I've seen you last, like all of a sudden I'm like, you know, wondering, you know,
girl.
You know, this is what I'm getting. I haven't seen you in ages, and all of a sudden you show up with like, you know, what's the cleavage going on there, huh?
It's not cleavage, honey. It's just
girl.
Well, they just stopped being two, you know, Hershey's kisses, and
uh-huh.
Yeah, they should decided to go into a different colour.
Are you growing up?
So she spent 20 minutes mastering this piece of audio for me.
Yeah, it's totally you.
You'll be a woman.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about you, your thigh gap and whatever. You know, all I'm hearing is oh, my boobies, my thigh gap, my whatever. You know? You and your thigh gap. Damn. Tell you what. Well, we got a fun show ahead of you. It's so good to be back actually doing this show together. It's been a few weeks that we weren't doing it. And you know, I've actually missed our little fun, a little bantering, you know? You know, you're going to get that all show now. But yeah, so what else is going on in your world of you know, other than your thigh gap and your pooch and your growing boobies?
You mean like my missing thigh gap?
Your missing thigh gap. Yeah.
Right. So not much. I'm actually taking a break this weekend and I'm going to Dalesford.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you'd take a break and you're leaving the show for a bit. I'm going, no, you're not. I'll make sure I drag you in here and make sure you're here doing it.
And then, oh my goodness, I just tried Starbucks new flavor, Banoffee Frappuccino.
A what?
Banoffee. So it's like banana and toffee together. Yeah, Frappuccino.
Oh, how's that taste?
I mean, I think I told you before, it tasted like acetone and I loved it.
Acetone?
Yes.
Like nail polish remover?
Yes.
What is wrong with you?
Did you know that I'm always drawn to like those sort of scents and smell?
Oh, it tastes like rubbing alcohol. It's amazing. I just love the tingle on my tongue.
Hey, it's alcohol, you know. It's good, you might book. Well, so the thing is, like, you know, ripe banana, like the more ripe they are. So the scent, the chemical compounds would be ethylene. And acetone, tiny hints of it. So that's why with all these like artificial banana flavor, you can actually detect a bit of a likiness to acetone.
I see.
Yes, and I love it.
So you like the taste of acetone?
Yes, I do. Like I still remember like when I was younger, my mum would remove her nail polish, and I would get closer to her and just like sniffed everything in. Like inhaled everything in.
Oh my god!
Like
the smell of acetone?
Yeah.
Okay.
And other scents like leather remover. You all know what I'm talking about.
And my co-host is weird. Okay, right. My favorite smells.
I mean, this weekend, and yes, of course, like your smell.
If I'm thinking like favorite smells, I'm thinking like this morning, like I went and had, you know, a cup of black coffee and I was cracking open an orange and love that smell of mixed two and, you know, a little bit of like, you know, Sultana brand. Like that's, you know, a really lovely morning smell for me. Mm. Not acetone.
Right. Aren't you vanilla, honey? Yes. Mish is a vanilla one.
I'm so vanilla. No, I'm dark chocolate.
What are you doing this weekend?
I am shutting off. You know, I love y'all, but I'm getting away. Like I'm going to a friend's house. I'm going to do like nothing and actually sit down near the ocean and just kind of be a little quiet and maybe watch the football.
Would it be cold though?
No, I'm going to sit in my friend's house. I'm not going to sit on the damn beach.
All right.
I'm crazy. I'm not that crazy. So, no, just just be nice to kind of shut off for the weekend, I think. But today's show, look, we're going to be talking a few about, we're talking about ancient civilizations. We were actually looking up some stuff with trans, trying to find some new content and some ideas. And ancient expressions in ancient times with transgender history. We're looking at, something a little different, you know, because I think there's some talks about, you know, in the news lately about how trans people, you know, oh, it's such a new idea, or it's not been around that long, but it's been around a lot longer than we realize.
Yeah, so according to what we've read, is dated back as far as over 3,000 years.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking forward to actually chatting a bit about that.
And Michelle.
Yes, dear.
In front of me, I have Star Observer latest issue. Don't pray on us.
Are you going to show me another photo of you in the magazine?
No. But this actually sort of got me thinking.
Yeah.
So you grew up with the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Was there any
Midwest
trans experience or transgender expression depicted in your Bible?
No.
Really?
No.
So they talked about a virgin birth, conceived by a ghost and a human, and somehow water turned into wine, and then they just don't talk about us.
Somehow, you know, tell you what, if that actually happened, a lot of people would be loving that. It was a topic that never discussed. The only thing we ever discussed was, you know, about the idea of you know, being gay, and that was it. There was no ever discussion beyond the LRG. And, you know, I mean, bi existed, trans existed, everything, but there was no conversation further around it. Which is why it was so hard to come out at that time, because, you know, when you saw it, it was always something that was a Jerry Springer, always something that was, you know, quite a negative.
Or Buffalo Bill from, you know, Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, well, that's just it. You know, you didn't consider that or think that. And so, you know, back when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, when you thought about, you know, trans, the only thing you thought about was, oh, well, you know, gay man, drag. And that's it. Like, that's why I struggled so well with coming out, because I was still attracted to women.
Mm. But then, like, when you look back during that sort of era, like, that sort of period, we had, like, what, Bowie? We had Queen?
Well, yeah, you look at things like the 80s, Prince? You know, the 80s and 90s with, like, bands and all these celebrities and the expressions that they had, how, you know, they were so queer.
Exactly.
You know,
and they get so bold as well.
Yeah, but then but now here we're walking around in just everyday professional attire.
Yeah, with like, Hershey kisses.
With your jubblies hanging out. That's lovely. I mean, I taught you better than that. Really? What team is to speak to like my 13-year-old? Would I wear that, Anastasia? No, Mama Mish.
See, I would wear these.
Yeah,
but I love my body. Are wearing,
I know you love your body.
You know, I'm proud
everyone
of my
is, everyone has seen your body, and everyone's proud of your body. My thigh gap.
Yeah, but then what really fascinated me during this research for tonight's show is that Roman ancient. Like scriptures and all that actually depicted trans experience or transgender expression.
Well, in this one article we looked at was Ancient Civilization in Iran, which they said that they recognized transgender people 3,000 years ago, which the study suggested. And the analysis of, it was basically the analysis of funerary artifacts in the Iron Age burials in Iran, indicated that there were three different sets of offerings for males, females, and a third gender. So they recognized this stuff way back when. And the thing is, we even talk about things like sex, for example, and like I was watching a documentary on sex and talking about different cultures and whatever. And
there's, is that porn?
No, not porn, but we're just talking about just how society engaged with sex in general, whether it's straight sex, you know, gay sex, everything. And there's talks of transgender as well within that. And when you look at like all these ancient scripture books that they have sitting there that are legitimate books that are thousands of years old, they can't even bring them out and show them to people because they'll look at it as blasphemy, even though it is written by these same people who wrote these other books. Yeah. So only certain books are seen as gospel or scripture or, you know, the actual ones. But if you show any of the others, which depicted same-sex couples or anything with transgender, it's immediately just, you can't show it.
You see, but then what really gets me laughing all, like, every single time is that, like, people question gay sex, and I'm like, isn't that just sodomy?
Yeah, well,
and like straight people do have that. This part of the
straight people just have the same sex as well.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, but I also say, you know, when it comes to a lot of heterosexual couples, that, you know, a lot of men don't even give time and attention to the women in the room anyway. So I feel sorry for a lot of women, you know, because people are like, oh, so how do you two women have sex? And clearly, you know, if you can't figure that out, buddy, then you're doing your stuff wrong too. But when you look at what's going on, like, say, as of 2018, you know, where we're at now, you know, we're looking at, like, say, the Trump administration, you know, they're busy trying to strip trans people of their official status. You know, they're trying to erase something that's pretty much been there for thousands of years. And here we have this ancient civilization in Persia that embraced this diversity by, you know, recognizing the existence of this third gender. Mm. And again, 3,000 years ago.
Mm.
Which is before,
before your God,
before my God.
Yeah. Oh, kidding.
Listen to you. You're like, before your God.
No, but then, so honestly, whenever we talk about this issue or this, or I discuss about this at my dinner table with my friends, I get worked up because in my culture, ancient Vietnamese culture. And quite similar to other Southeast Asian ones, trans people, especially trans women or cross-dressers or those who were born, say, in the male body, but, you know, expressed in a more feminine way, we were considered the medium between the two worlds. We were considered as, like, the bringer of, like, you know, of bringing the two realms together. And things changed, you know, when colonies came over.
Listen, you colonists. No, what am I going to do with you? No, you're right. And you know, and you know, religion is a heavy topic to even think about, you know, when it comes to, you know, all of this. But you know, look at how much things have changed over the years. You know, there's, you know, they recognize the spectrum and everything, you know. Even trans people were more of a religious figure within the wider community, but you know, now it's totally different.
Yeah, and another, well, actually, speaking of crumbs and transgender treatment, all that. So the US Supreme Court has sort of granted transgender troop the right to sue Trump and the Pentagon.
Yeah, what they're doing right now is there's actually a case coming up in October. Is they're going to go before the Supreme Court and make the decision if sex discrimination acts that they have there include transgender individuals. Mm. So they're trying to say currently that an employer has full rights to dismiss you if you're gay or lesbian, or transgender. Mm. And the Trump administration is pushing to have transgender identities included in, like, as that whole you have the right to dismiss because it's not recognized as a protection right.
Mm. Well, I'm questioning is, like, how do you know whether a person is gay or lesbian?
Mm.
How?
Well, if it's outed, if the person is outed. So, you know, like now what's really hard is there are certain states that if you actually, you know, oh, I got married to my partner. Oh, sorry, that's not a culture fit within the organization. You need to leave.
Oh.
Yeah. Look, speaking of, you know, like things like with their genders and you know, Asia Pacific cultures, you know, zipping over the news over, say, to Hawaii, for example, you know, in Hawaiian culture, the word mahu is the, you know, historical, a third gender designation is now used as a sort of slang for transgender in Hawaiians, or with Hawaiians. And there's a new story of a transgender student athlete who reportedly is finding acceptance from her high school and teammates and stuff okay, but she's like getting obstacles because they're afraid that her on the volleyball team will actually give high levels of risk towards the other students playing volleyball. Mm. And so, you know, it's interesting, all the different cultures, the names that we all have for, you know, what it is to be transgender. And
like Polynesian, I think there's like Fafipine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even like the Tongan culture, maybe like before 200 years ago, like they still acknowledged the third gender or like, you know, anything outside of the binary.
Mm.
And then only until, you know, God came.
Well, there's always different gods along the way that they had, but, you know, every different culture had different, its own example of what it is, you know, with religion. But you know, talking about the different things that were actually put in there, you know, some, like, say, for example, certain clusters of artifacts that were left with these one bodies, you know, things like needles, garment pins, jewelry, you know, and these are things that were basically with bodies that were identifiably as female. Mm. Another cluster of things like metal vessels, weapons, armor was usually with the male skeletons, but there was around 20% of the burials in this particular area found a third cluster of co-occupying objects. So some unusually combinations of things like that would combinate from both sexes were with the one. So, for example, one male tomb in this cluster included like an arrowhead, which is considered, you know, usually a masculine artifact, and a garment pin, which is, you know, just about the most like feminine item there possibly is. And they were like together with this third gender, like they were together in this space. Another one had, say, a blade and a metal drinking cup and also a garment pin and needle. And so it appears the deceased actually performed masculine ritual activities but also wore a feminine dress. So, you know, but the person's biological sex was, you know, unknown. So this is the thing, like, so with this third gender, they could see that there was that mixture of two. So, you know, for like with you.
Yes.
I can say it now. They find the artifact of you sitting there. It'd be, what do you think they'd be fine? What do you think they'd find? Like masculine and feminine?
Like my dildo looking hair curler.
Your dildo looking hair curler. That's lovely. Okay?
You've seen that though, right?
Yeah. Yes. That looks very, it's very, yeah.
I love the clamp on that particular device.
Oh, you're hilarious. What would you? Like, what else? What would, like, you know, two things. I mean, something masculine and something feminine that they would find if they found your remains later. If you were buried with, like, one masculine...
My heels?
your heels.
I mean, and your dildo about thrower. It, like, you know, heels were worn by, you know, aristocratic men in France and all that, right? Yeah. So,
but if they were doing a study of us, like, you know, 3,000 years from now, and they were doing an archaeological dig, and they found your body with objects, what would you have? What would they find and go, this seems ultra feminine, ultra masculine?
Jesus, so ultra feminine. Honestly, just my heels. My collection of heels.
You and your heels. You Jimmy Choo's.
My ultra feminine would be my pajama and my tracksuits.
Ultra feminine.
I mean, masculine, sorry.
Tracksuits.
Yes. And Crocs. I have a pair of Crocs, which you've seen.
Oh, yes. I've seen your Crocs. I've seen your Crocs.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I've seen your Crocs. Yeah, you know, be definitely your Jimmy Choo's, I think, would be the ones. Is it Louboutins or is it Jimmy Choo's?
So I got those Jimmy Choo's off, you know, some op shops, and yeah, it's the Jimmy Choo's.
Okay.
Don't ever waste your money on Louboutin because they are so painful to walk in.
Honey, I get horse feet and I just can't. This is not happening.
Like, well, no, the thing is, you know, this is another thing missing. Fashion industry can always, if they plan to capitalize on our identity, they should start making shoes for us.
Well, yeah, true. I went actually looking for a new pair of shoes the other day, and I went and was looking everywhere, like, online. And it was funny, the only thing I could find in my size was clear heels. Huh. So if anybody out there knows how actually where I can find some, like, shoes in size, you know, 12 and a half, 13, please hook Mama Mish up some new shoes.
And maybe, you know, it's just one day that you're going to make toe hair fashionable.
Toe hair.
Do you have that hair on your toes?
No, I don't have toe hair.
I do have toe hair.
I waxed it off. I waxed it off. Do you have toe hair?
Well, yes. Still? Thin ones. Yeah, but then, I still have toe hair. I'm a human being. Come on.
You see, you're like combing it.
I count them like three strands of toe hair.
It's like when you grow in whiskers, you only have like three.
No, I don't. No, I have more than that.
Four.
Perhaps. It's just concealer. And you know what? Just then, I came up with a great idea. And if you plan to, somebody please make this happen. What if we have a TV series or a movie, right? Having transgender cast playing reimagined ancient gods from different pantheons.
I think they already have that. Really? A TV show called American Gods. Well, not
no,
trans,
no, these different, like trans ones, and then we navigate through the daily mess, especially the current political mess we are in right now.
Yeah, I can see it now. The trans version of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. You know, you and me in a phone booth and hunting down all these.
I think it would be fun, and to think of it, like, shouldn't Eve be like the first trans woman from the Bible?
Oh, really?
You could play Eve. I mean, she came from Adam's rib, so...
I don't know if I'd play Eve.
You could play Eve. And I could play, like, a Southeast Asian medium.
Eating the snake.
Not eating the snake, but maybe eating the snails.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah. That would be fun.
That would be funny.
That would be fun.
I guess he's putting together a short film soon. This is going to be interesting. So what's it called? Be afraid.
Yeah, so if you can think of a good name for it, please let us know, you know?
Okay. So this is interesting. So they're finding these clusters of different multi-gendered objects with these third gender bodies. So that's, you know, that's a... I'm trying to think as well what mine would be. So yours is track pants and your...
My heels.
Your heels.
Yeah.
Okay. What would mine be? Probably like makeup brushes and then like say a hockey jersey. Because I wear hockey jerseys all the time. That's my, I still just wear casual on the weekends. So like when I go to see my friend this weekend, I'm probably wearing a hockey jersey.
Mm. So you think brushes are actually ultra feminine?
My makeup brushes.
Oh, your makeup brushes.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
it's just that because I hardly use...
Your culture, according to your gods, is that masculine?
Because, like, for me, I don't use brushes. I use my fingers mostly.
Well, that explains a lot.
Exactly. Look at the shade. I use fingers mostly.
This is use your fingers a lot, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is all brushes.
I use fingers for most things in my life.
Yeah, okay. Next along... So anyway, back to, you know, ancient trans times, ancient times. So we were doing, there was nothing around, I think it was like expressions in ancient times. So that really highlights, especially in that they're talking about with the mixture of masculine and feminine within that third gender. It was interesting, we got this topic actually on the train ride in this morning with some friends. We were talking about religion and trans and all this other stuff. And I was like, this is not something I expect to have on the way to work.
Wow, that's quite a heavy... That must have been a heavy morning for you.
Yeah, it was an interesting morning.
Did you get any numbers?
No. It was just a bunch of ladies that I just... Yeah.
How did the conversation start?
Oh, we were talking about, like, somebody was asking me about Trump because I'm American, and then all of a sudden there was the conversation around...
Like, most Americans don't care about Trump.
No. We're always on social media complaining about him, so...
Yeah. What else did you guys talk about?
It was mostly they're asking me about the trans stuff and how it's affecting. So, yeah, it was just a real strange thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they had no issues with your presence or...
No. Well, they're ladies I catch up with all the time anyway.
Oh, that's great. That's
so
amazing.
I'm completely out and open and everything when I'm out on, you know.
And just for you guys to remember, she lives in out west, Melton.
Yeah. Well, just want to tell you guys, no one gets stalkers. No, my thing is I don't pass. You know, I'm completely out. And so everyone knows exactly...
What is pass, though? Honestly...
Well, nothing. Most people expect passing and whatever, but people, I stand out like dog's balls. Like, I don't, there's no way you can't miss
me.
We
both stand out.
Honey, I'm 6 foot three. Like, you kind of, you stand out because you're only like a 5 foot, what, seven?
5'9".
Five nine Asian with a pooch and a thigh gap.
No longer a thigh gap. I told you, the gap disappeared. See, say, shanti. I'm not used to seeing no lights coming out of it.
Where's my thigh gap? Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I was going to ask you something. With the Bible, don't you think Eve was the first trans woman ever?
How could she? How was she the first trans woman ever?
Well, if she was made of, you know, Adam's bones, shouldn't be she's like, you know, genetically male.
Okay.
Right.
I don't know about that.
Because technically she's going to be a clone of Adam and she's just a female.
Okay. So basically saying that Adam and Eve, who's now a trans woman, gave birth.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Bible. I mean, you know, like God turns water into wine. So, or like this guy split the ocean in half.
How? Okay, so, you know, all of a sudden my mind is going to like splitting in half. And I'm going, no. Every time you keep touching your top, you keep like sticking your hand in your top like Al Bundy with your boobs. You'll get there. They're growing. It's okay.
I know they will get there.
I mean, you know, I mean, in time, you know, you'll feel there, you know.
I mean, yeah, apart from, you know, contemplating about life and questioning the universe, I also question about the size of these when they are fully grown.
Right. Yes.
Before language, before culture, before all these artificial borders, right? Divided everybody.
As you put them, the hairy humans.
Yep. Like, did the hairy humans have a concept of gender or like binary gender?
Probably not.
Or was, you know, consummation was just part of...
Well, 3,000 years ago, according to, in ancient Persia, then, or what's now known as Iran, you know, if they didn't have an understanding and they recognized the third gender, well, then obviously, can you imagine what it would have been then?
I mean, how about before that?
Well, what we're looking at here, what, 1503 BC, you're looking at, you know, Egyptian queen
Hatshepsut.
Yep. Ascends to the throne and dons male clothing and a false beard, signifying her intention to rule as a pharaoh.
Right.
So clearly, you know, we way back when.
Well, yes, 1500 BC. And then 60-80, we had this emperor who had a young slave boy and castrated him and then took him as wife in a legal ceremony.
The look in your face alone.
But that's another thing, because recently there's this article published and questioning whether we should have another label, another acronym added to LGBTIQAA+. For people who have attractions with trans people. And for me...
No, I'm not, I don't agree with another
exactly. And then for me, this emperor was an example of fetish, of fetishization, you know, of trans body.
Look, I fully recognize that anybody maybe have an attraction to trans people, and that's totally fine, but we don't need another letter to the alphabet.
And for me, it's just so sad. Like, I mean, attraction is attraction, and a lot of people I know who have attraction for trans female in particular, they also have attraction towards cisgender female, not just trans. So clearly they are really attracted to just the...
You know, I actually had this conversation with somebody, and he was having, he and I were having a coffee in a one-on-one. He's a man who he's been in a relationship with a woman, a cis woman, and he has an attraction to trans women. I said, would you have the attraction if they didn't have, say male genitalia, right? And he goes, good question. He goes, probably wouldn't be attracted if they didn't have that. Huh. And I go, interesting. So you're actually attracted to trans women because they have, because they're feminine and they have that. And he goes, yeah, that's the attraction.
But then don't you think that's borderline?
Well, I would say it's probably on the bi spectrum or pansexual, maybe.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. It was just, an interesting sort of conversation that I had. And I thought, yeah, but I don't think that includes, and this just stays in like the pan bi thing. I don't think that should be another.
Sexual
identity.
And besides, like, by sort of labeling that particular person who has attractions towards a trans person, you are somehow not seeing the trans person as the gender they identify as.
No, you're just seeing him as a person.
Exactly. And it's just, it's mind-boggling, really. So, yeah.
No, and there's so much to this. Like, there's so much you could break down in this and that we don't realize. You know, like through the years, through the millennia, things like, was it Emperor or a Roman Emperor, I can't even pronounce half these names.
Elagabalus?
Yeah. Becomes known for wearing makeup, having eccentric habits, and numerous bisexual escapades. And he reportedly offers a reward to any doctor who can give him female genitalia. He was assassinated and replaced by his cousin when he was just 18 years old.
The miracle of, pathology.
Modern science.
And the thing is, okay, so you had the ancient Egyptian queen got to rule as a pharaoh. But at the same time, so she was respected because she was sort of expressing a more masculine outlook, right?
Yep.
Whereas like this emperor... sort of, transcended from a male to female position, and he got murdered and assassinated.
Clearly,
like, misogyny existed way back.
I think they were just jealous of their makeup.
You're right, kid.
No, don't
No, honestly, but then, again, like, male to female transitioning has always been stigmatized throughout history, if you think about it. Where even in my culture and in other cultures as well, like those who identify as male and born in a female body, they are still more respected in my own sort of culture versus ones transitioning from male to female.
Well, here we go. Here's one. Charlotte Clark in 1755, the first openly lesbian and transgender person in modern times, publishes an autobiography. She is a flamboyant cross-dressing actress who writes about her relationship with her wife, Mrs. Brown.
Oh my goodness. It's talking of role-by.
And on Anastasia's world, this is called pegging. No, it's interesting. It's interesting to go back and see all of these things and how, that these things have been around for so much longer than we realize, but, you know, now it's such a trivial, you know, issue because there's so much more religion involved in it.
I feel like it's more like a political statement for politicians as well. And, yeah, it's very unfortunate.
What? Oh, to talk against it?
To talk against us, like our bodies.
Yep.
Has been sort of, you know, taken advantage of by different people in power.
I agree.
It's quite unfortunate that the world has come to this end.
I agree. Looking like the end of the show, that's it. That's all for us.
Well, this weekend I'm going to Dalesford and we have a challenge with my friends.
What's the challenge?
So we have a budget of $30 each person. And we would go to the supermarket, find whatever we can cook it with, and then, see who would have the best tasting dish.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I'm looking at maybe just going down to sit by the ocean, drink a few beers, watch a football, and that's it.
Oh, right. Well, it sounds like a good weekend for you then.
You're like, that's not my sort of
thing. I was rolling my eyes, people. Yes.
Well, you've been listening to Transgender Point of View. Mama Mish, Anastasia, if you want to follow along to us, get us on Facebook, Trans POV on Joy 94.9. Also on Instagram, Trans POV. During the week, if you have any ideas or thoughts that you want to go reach out to us and say, hey, guys, we'd love to hear you cover this for us, please let us know and we will add it to a list of things for topics to talk about. You have a good evening. See you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.